Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations tonight. It's a pleasure to welcome Frederick Jodry into the studio. He is the president, the chief, the main man at Museum Concerts of Rhode Island. Welcome to the program, Frederick.
It's a pleasure. It's been a few years since I've been here, but I'm happy to come and talk about the early music world in Rhode Island.
There you go. And you don't look, you know, you don't look any different than when you were here the last time. You haven't changed at all, right?
Well, exactly, right. Gravity is a cruel mistress.
Yeah. I noticed a little one gray hair on beard.
Yes, perhaps. Yeah. Yeah.
You might have the same situation with you. That just kind of creeps up and happens. Museum Concerts of Rhode Island sounds like it could be anything, quite frankly. It could be a museum of rocket science and it could be a museum of different things. But this is Baroque music only? Or?
Not exclusively, but I would give it the big tent of early music.
Early music.
The idea of medieval, Renaissance, Baroque, and even classical music, but played on historic instruments, played in such a way that the composers would immediately recognize not a modern Steinway, but a small wooden Mozart piano, or et cetera. And it's called Museum Concerts because our founder, Mary Sadovnikov, who was a pianist and a forte piano builder, started giving concerts of chamber music in the RISD Museum, which was how the title came. Gradually, it became complicated to run a chamber music series in a museum and control access and make sure there weren't loud people walking through the concert. So we have over 57 years of experience presenting this kind of chamber music with the approach of trying to find authentic sounds. And for the past 10 years or so, we've been at the First Unitarian Church. That's one of the two big white churches in Providence on Benefit.
Almost across the street from RISD Museum.
Very close to the RISD Museum, right. And it's a wonderful historic space built in 1816, Providence architect, and beautiful acoustics. And from a practical point of view, easy access for moving harpsichords and chamber organs, no steps needed. And for the audience convenience, a parking lot, hurrah, which is free.
So that's great. And you have a series of concerts that you do every year.
Right. This year we've chosen six. We've just given a program last week with two amazing young French musicians. And we're here primarily to talk about our Thanksgiving weekend show coming up on November 26th called Renaissonics, Carols for Dancing. It's a kickoff of our holiday season.
Okay, and now this is not something new. I mentioned every year. It's been a lot of years, right?
It's been a long time, and I've been involved for about the past 25, but it's possibly the longest presenting chamber music series in the country.
Really?
That's under the same same organizational
policy. So 57 years officially.
Correct, and that's been a real joy. We've varied in the years between the number of programs, perhaps interestingly to our listening audience, one of the things that's developed in the last 5 years is our own Baroque chamber orchestra. At a certain point, the density of people who play Baroque violins, instruments strung in gut, played with authentic, somewhat lighter, more agile bows, we realized we had a real quorum in Rhode Island. Six violins, two cellos, two flutes, bass, harpsichord, and organ. So we had to initially import a viola or two and perhaps an oboist, but we started really working with the Brown University Chorus, which was one of my other hats where I make music, presenting Messiah and Handel oratorios and Bach masses. And at a certain point, we thought, let's bring the orchestra together to play orchestra music. So the clip we're about to hear today is from our first opening concert of the season in September, some wonderful music by Telemann. It features our concertmaster, who is Daniel Lee. Daniel is a fascinating musician because he's also an ordained minister. His first degree was in Baroque violin at Yale, and then he decided to continue on in divinity school and manages a very interesting life as a pastor of a Presbyterian church in Missouri. And then 12 weekends a year, he's permitted to leave them in some other capable hands and come around to Yale and other places to play music. So we have two programs with the Baroque Orchestra this year, the Telemann Concerto for Trumpet and Violin we're about to hear, featuring Joshua Cohen, a wonderful Baroque trumpeter from the D.C. area, and Daniel Lee, our concertmaster, as featured soloist.
Thank you.
Well, there we go with what is obviously a live recording by the applause at the end. And that was recorded where?
At the First Unitarian
at,
Church.
At
which
the
is,
church, right? At
yes,
the church.
That's right. And all of our programs this year are at First Unitarian Providence.
And that was not done in a studio or anything else.
Absolutely,
it was
yeah.
live. All right,
yes,
great.
Indeed. Yeah, it's funny to think about for a moment that Telemann was so much more popular and well-known in his lifetime than Bach. That Telemann's music was disseminated more, published in Paris. When they went to fill the job in Leipzig, where Bach spent his last 25 years, they really wanted Telemann because he had been a university student there. But our radio audience, those people at least in Providence, will have a chance to hear Providence Baroque Orchestra again later this spring. Sunday, March 3rd, we'll be presenting three of Bach's Brandenburg Concertos with the Chamber Orchestra. And those are another set of exuberant and wonderful instrumental pieces.
Now, this information that you're giving out about the March concert, this concert, and previous concerts are all available on a website, correct?
Absolutely, museumconcerts.org.
So that's pretty simple to remember, museumconcerts.org. And right there is a listing of everything that's coming up and so forth and the things that Frederick's been talking about. All right, let's move along with what's this next piece you have for us?
We have a piece of harpsichord music from an anonymous 17th century French manuscript. One of my classmates at New England Conservatory back in the day was a very gifted harpsichordist by the name of Byron Schenkman, who lives in Seattle and is very active both in playing ensemble music and with a real solo career. He's coming to us on Sunday, January 14th with a whole French program, both uncle and nephew Louis and François Couperin, some wonderful pieces by the protege Elizabeth Jacquet de la Guerre, who played at court at Versailles at the age of 14 and was immediately taken on as a member of the sort of supported musicians at Versailles. The piece Byron is playing is anonymous but very indicative of this elegant French classical harpsichord style.
There we go. All right, we'll give that a listen, then we'll take a short break and be back with more. Museum Concerts of Rhode Island is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, pleased to be sitting with Frederick Jodry, who is the president of the organization. And Frederick, we didn't find out too much about you personally at the top of the show, so I just want to touch on that. You did mention your other jobs or your other backgrounds. So
sure.
What do you do all day long?
Well, you ask me on a different day and you'll get a different answer each day.
Okay.
But I'm a man of many hats. My primary job is to conduct the Brown University Chorus, a fantastic 60-voice undergraduate ensemble.
So you're on faculty?
On faculty, and I teach conducting, music history, in particular, medieval Renaissance and Baroque.
So I live in the Brown neighborhood, so the kids that are running around causing trouble, I can go to you and say, straighten them out, right?
Oh, yes, and I'll get them to sing even more beautifully. Yeah. I'm also co-music director with my colleague Michael Bauman at Historic Trinity Church in Newport, which supports a beautiful choir and a chamber music series and many extra services with particularly fine choral music. I also lead a chamber choir in Boston called Schola Cantorum, which generally performs in Providence and Boston. Mm-hmm. So yes, a lot of singing and music and keyboard playing.
Now this all started at the age of...
Oh, I suppose, 14 when my father said, you know, young man, you play the piano so nicely. Why don't you take organ lessons? Pianists never have work, but an organist always has a job.
There you go.
Good advice, Papa.
Always get a job in a church. They're hard to find.
Correct.
And so you've been doing it since the age of 14.
Right. And undergraduate and master's degree at New England Conservatory. And then various church work around New England for a few years, and came to Brown in 1991, and have had a long and wonderful time.
Wow!
Yeah,
long tenure there. That's great.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Museum Concerts of Rhode Island, and it's interesting how the name came about. I always wondered when I've seen the organization advertisements and so forth. Why it's called Museum Concerts.
Right,
you explain that.
Yeah, we were originally associated with the RISD Museum. And in the past 5 or 10 years, they've also been very kind at times to open the museum later in the evening or Sundays at 6 or so to allow us to come back to the museum for performances in the Great Gallery. Memorably, we had a fantastic Norwegian choir called Nordic Voices that in that large kind of deep blue gallery with very live acoustics can be quite a remarkable place. Schola Cantorum has sung there a number of times as well.
Right. All right. Well, let's get back to what's going on with the organization. And we're talking about a concert that's going to be at the end of this month, Sunday, November 26th.
Yes, we'll get to some Renaissance music. But I want to just mention, in the course of a season with museum concerts, we make a good effort whenever possible to have something medieval, something from the Renaissance, if possible, an early Baroque, a 17th century program. And the meat of our repertory, of course, is Baroque music, Bach, Handel, Telemann, Corelli, the gems of the 18th century. The February concert is a particular rarity and has some rather exquisite instruments. It will be a quintet called A Golden Wire. That refers to the harpist, who's really made quite a splash lately in the international harp scene, which is a strange and wonderful world.
Mm-hmm.
But he's assembled a 17th century consort, soprano, violin, viola da gamba, harp, and lute, to do some quite exquisite English 17th century music, Purcell being the most well-known, various other Eccles and Abel and so forth, somewhat lesser-known people. But the combination of harp and lute with various other instruments is a really beautiful and somewhat unusual sonority. The harpist, Parker Ramsey, is the person who's organized this ensemble. And he has been traveling, doing a beautiful harp arrangement of all things Bach's Goldberg Variations that's really been quite noted in reviews, in being presented in very prominent venues. So he's really an up-and-coming young harpist with quite interesting musical tastes. The soprano we'll hear shortly is Nola Richardson, a young woman from New York. So we'll hear Parker doing the famous aria from the Bach's Goldberg Variations, followed by Nola Richardson doing a 17th century English song with lute, Can She Excuse My Wrongs by Dowland. Thank you.
she excuse my wrongs with virtue's cloak? Shall I call her good when she proves unkind? Are those clear flies which vanish into smoke? Must I praise the leaves where no fruit I find? No, no, where shadows do for body stand. Thou mayst be abused if thy sight be dim. Cold love is like to words written on sand, or to bubbles which on the water swim. Wilt thou be thus abused and still, seeing that she were right thee never, if thou canst not o'ercome her with thy love, be thus fruitless ever? Wilt thou be thus abused and still, seeing that she were right thee never, if thou canst not o'ercome her with thy love, be thus fruitless ever? Was I so base that I might not aspire unto those high joys which she holds for me? As they are high, so high is my desire. If she this deny, what can granted be? If she will yield to that which is and is, it is reason's will that love should be just. Happy still by granting this, or cut off delays if that die I must. Better a thousand times to die than for to live thus still tormented. Dear, but remember it was I who for this end did die contented. Better a thousand times to die than for to live thus still tormented. Dear, but remember it was I who for this end did die contented.
I'm sure a lot of listeners have the same opinion I do. You don't think of voices when you think, for at least I don't, when you think of Baroque music, you don't think of singers.
Well, there's plenty of music that does include them. And
yeah,
certainly we try and make a nice balance between instrumental pieces, instrumental concerts, and then programs with voices as well.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. So that's very interesting. So learn something every day. We have a couple more pieces to put in before we finish this segment. What, tell us about these.
Sure. So our next upcoming concert is on one of our favorite weekends, Thanksgiving weekend. So our programs are always Sunday afternoons at 3:30 at First Unitarian in Providence. So we found by Sunday afternoon, when you're tired of your in-laws and the pie is looking particularly vile, like Sunday afternoon is a good chance to get people out of the house.
You've had enough turkey by now.
You don't want to think about any more birds, unless, of course, it's William Bird. So we are having a Renaissance program, but it's a particularly interesting Renaissance quartet based in Boston called Renaissonics. We thought about a jazz quartet, how the instruments relate to one another. You know, there's a rhythm instrument, there's some melody instruments, there's bass, and people take turns improvising. Hmm. And this was precisely how Renaissance dance bands were organized. Cello, harpsichord, recorder, violin, perhaps. And they would certainly play familiar tunes. Certain chord progressions were well known for certain kinds of dances, but it was largely improvised. Mm-hmm. So this is a group that works in that style, taking familiar melodies and then treating them in a free, improvisatory way. Carols originally were not only for Christmas, but were dance songs, songs you were meant to be singing while dancing in a sort of medieval kind of way, I suppose. And there were springtime carols, there were full moon carols, there were Christmas carols, there were Easter carols. So when we have restricted the word to only Christmas, it's not exactly how they thought about that form in the Renaissance. The first pieces we'll hear from Renaissonics, one is a traditional English carol from the region of Sussex. We used to sing it in church. On Christmas night, all Christians sing to hear the news the Savior brings. And then their second piece is a Renaissance piece. We actually have a date published in 1582, originally with springtime words, but now sung to Good Christians All Rejoice, In Dulci Jubilo. but heard in a fresh and new interesting way by this improvisatory Renaissance quartet, Renaissonics.
Excellent. We'll listen to those two, take a short break, and be back with more.
Thank you.
Museum Concerts of Rhode Island is a subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and as I mentioned earlier, we're sitting with Frederick Jodry, who is the president of the organization, in their 57th year. And we're talking about concerts that are coming up, one in a few weeks, on Sunday, November 26th at 3:30 at the First Unitarian Church. And then there's going to be one in January, one in February, one in March. Frederick, you've talked about most of those, and we'll highlight them a little bit more, but let's get back to what we want to listen to next.
Oh, yes. So Renaissonics, as I mentioned, is an improvisatory Renaissance dance band. It has actually, interestingly, two Rhode Islanders, Daniel Rowe, cello from South County, and Laura Gully, a member of the Philharmonic and a wonderful violin teacher and chamber musician. Those are some of the string players, and then they'll be coming with harpsichord, recorder, and percussion. One of the dance forms of the Renaissance was called passamezzo. It's a simple chord progression, about 16 bars. I remember as a student improvising for a Renaissance dance class at the conservatory with this chord progression. But you'll recognize the tune that got built above that progression, Greensleeves, which has secular words or can be What Child Is This? So here is Renaissonics having their way with passamezzo antico, Greensleeves.
Thank you.
Frederick, people that are interested in the concerts and purchasing tickets can do so on the website.
On the website, yes, museumconcerts.org for advance tickets or at the door with cash, check, or card. We're very up to date in our museum
concerts.
There
you go. Sales. You can use a credit card right at the door.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll end with a set of dances. Branle le gué, our circle dances from France. And it's fun to think about the winter holidays in our current world are really a mix of religious observation and the solstice old medieval dance traditions are still hiding here and there with Christmas caroling and candles on trees and these rather pagan ideas. So start your holiday season with museum concerts Sunday, November 26th at the First Unitarian Church.
Frederick, thanks so much for bringing your music to our audience. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome, Mike. Let's do it again soon.
Hopefully we will. And the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.